This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
A good Tuesday afternoon and welcome into Grant and Danny. It's July 5th, 2022. A short week ahead, which is the best kind of week. Danny is in our Half Street Studios in the nation's capital. I am coming to you live from Cape Charles, Virginia, population 1,240, Danny. 1,240 is the population. Looks like 3 feet above sea level.
Okay.
The mayor here is George Proto from my Google search.
It's
That's
Proto?
Where I'm at today.
It's Mayor Proto?
He's the one.
That's the guy. Now, one of my favorite things about this, and I love you, buddy. We've been doing this show together. You know, we're approaching 10 years. We're going to catch the junkies one day, you and me. We'll figure out a way to do it. But we've been doing the show a long time, and I know you pretty well. I feel like you know me pretty well. I know how much you loathe being at the beach, and yet there you are. You're at the beach. This is like basically bringing me to a snake convention. This is like an invitation for me to go to like an amusement park during the crowdiest, hottest, sweatiest day of the summer, and there you are down there broadcasting from the beach, just wearing it for your family. How has your beach time been? Have you gone into the touched the sand with your toes, which you hate? Have you gone into the ocean at all, which you hate? What have you been doing at the beach?
About 9 minutes of time in the sand on the beach earlier this morning with the children. Got those 9 minutes in. Chased an umbrella around that was blowing in the wind.
Yeah.
That's all for me, thanks.
You guys have been great.
No, so I enjoy the trip. I really like it. We're with the in-laws who live here all the time, and it's a cool little town. I needed a little longer Ethernet wire, so I hit up a buddy of mine who actually listens to the show, commutes back and forth from Northern Virginia, who I met, who's got a house down here, and he like put on some secret chat that they have that he needed an extra long Ethernet wire, and I had like seven people willing to drive one over to the house. It's one of those cool little places where everybody knows everyone. It's a nice little spot. But, yes, the actual ocean bay part of it, the sitting in the sand and it's outside and it's very hot, not necessarily for me. But, look, I've been doing this all my life. I went on family vacations for years. No one pulled me before we went to the beach and said, where would you like to go? So we're here, and I enjoy it. There's shops. There's a little theater. I watched Sandlot in a movie theater yesterday, which was air-conditioned and dark. There are restaurants that are occasionally open here, not hours that you would want or I would want, but if you go in the right 2.5-3 hour window, you can get a pastry or something delicious. So, yeah, I will be just fine. Everything's going to work out, I think.
So it's basically, if we're doing like a totem pole, it's hostage reading words about how nice the captors are. One rung up is Grant telling you how nice the beach town is. I'm sure family members are within earshot. You don't have to respond. You can blink once for help. I know how much this is killing you. I know how much you just want to be able to go get a sandwich on your time, and then the shop isn't open, and you just can't fathom it. I love it. Part of me just thinks it's so funny. I know it's not funny to you, but just know that it's funny to all of us here in the studio.
Well, I'll just tell you what's happened so far today. So Allison and I were told to go get the kids some cupcakes from the cake store, and we drove down to the cake store, and it's closed today and tomorrow, so that's fine. So then we drove back. This was in a golf cart. And when you can drive places in a golf cart, you're in a cool place. You're in a place that I want to be in.
Uh-huh.
So that's perfectly reasonable. So we get back in the golf cart, and the kids went to the beach. And they're cute at the beach, so I wanted to go down there and just see them being cute and show them the minnows and whatever else. So we did some of that. So after about, as I said, 9 minutes, it was plenty cute. It was fun. And I said, okay, well, I'll see you later. So I got in the golf cart, and I looked at my watch, my fake watch, and I said, well, we're taping the podcast here a little after 12. I've got some time to run down the street, get some wings at my favorite restaurant here. So I get down there. It's a little after 11, and they're not open until noon. So I said, no problem. So I go back right at noon, and this was yesterday, and they said, oh, we don't turn on the grills for a little while.
Mm.
I said, okay. Everything's fine. It's 12 o'clock.
It sounds fine.
Not lunchtime yet. So it's different. I'm from a D.C. where things are open all the time. Whenever you might want something, you can get it. That's just not a thing here. It's got to be the right day and the right time, and people have to decide that that day at that particular time, they're going to be open and give it to you. But it is it's just a nice pace. You know, you can kind of take a deep breath and look out at the water from a balcony. That part's pretty cool.
That is a beautiful thing. So I'm glad you're down there. How long are you down there? For the whole week, or are you coming back at some point?
It's to be determined. Yep. We didn't really pick up, you know, we didn't slot anything when we came down here. It was kind of a, I said one thing, my wife said another thing, so we'll see what happens.
Bet you the wife thing is what ends up happening.
Probably more what she's thinking.
Yeah.
So probably later in the week than earlier. Yeah. but yeah, we're going to find out as we go. It's going to be a cool time.
I love it. Oh, I'm having so much fun with this. All right, we can set up the show now. I just wanted to let you know that I'm having so much fun thinking about it. We've been talking about it all, like, we haven't had any commercial breaks yet, but just trust me, we're talking about it every commercial break, how we're in the AC, and so are you, quite frankly, because you're at the beach, and this, it's like one of the last three places you'd want to be.
Yeah, so my kids have gone to the beach each day. Like, they're all about it. Let's go best and worst from 4th of July, because I had a bangering 4th of July yesterday that included me staying inside and watching the Nats game. And the best of my 4th of July was eating crabs. Mm. I went over to one of the local seafood spots here, and they had plenty of crabs, plenty of shrimp. So I did 2-pound steamed shrimp, 18 crabs, and the wife, myself, my mother-in-law, some others sat around the table and enjoyed those. So that was the highlight of my 4th of July. How about you?
Little parade at the in-law's place, my mother-in-law, in the greater Balmer area in Mount Washington. So all the kids and cousin got little scooters, and we, you know, wrapped them in this, like, you know, flag tape. I don't know a better way to put it than that, but it was, you know, very nice. We were able to stash a couple small American flags in there, and they got to ride in this parade around the neighborhood with, like, a big fire truck, a couple of vintage cars were kind of leading it, and it was just, they were so pig in mud about that kind of stuff. Like, they're waving to people, you know, like happy fourth, like they're official ambassadors. You know, my oldest got a piece of, like, Lego tape, which, if you've never seen those things, you can, like, stick Legos on it, and then the other side will stick to a wall or something. It's like the greatest. It's like a 7-cent type item, but he thinks it's the greatest thing in the world. They got pencils with, you know, like American flags on them or something like that. But it was just like little knickknacks, but they were just so happy about it. It was awesome. It was a great, exhausting adventure for everybody, so everyone was able to chill out afterwards. But that was definitely the highlight, man.
Parades are one of those things. We did one yesterday morning with the kids, and they ended up with – they came back. It was like Halloween, basically. I poured out my hat where they were filling up my hat with all their candy and everything they were getting, and all their loot was on the floor when we got back in the house, and it was just a big mountain of candy and all kinds of stuff. Mm-hmm. And it was neat because all the little shops here, all the little stores and stuff – in this little main strip in Cape Charles, do their own thing in the parade. So if you're a, you know, hot dog shop or whatever, like someone's walking along making hot dogs and passing them out. But I've never been to a parade before where people were throwing out water balloons, which was a thing. We came back to the house with multiple water balloons. Ryan from his draft would have been fired up by that, I think. Stickers and tattoos and everything the kids could ever want. So when you're a little kid, parades are the best. And then when you have kids, parades get really, really good again. So that was a lot of fun. How about the worst of your 4th of July day yesterday?
The heat. To quote Elaine Bennis, the heat. My God, the heat. So everybody in my family, it's these, like, in-shape women, and, like, you know, they're sort of like these normal people without me, like the layers of body fat to protect my muscles. They're like, oh, it's 80. It's so nice. Can you believe how nice it is? I'm like, too hot. So hot. So hot. Everyone should recognize how hot it is. If it's colder, it's better. It's hot. It's too hot. And the heat kept rising and rising and rising. And they just wanted to do everything outside. All these non-body fat people were just wanted to be outside. They wanted to eat the barbecue outside. They wanted to stand outside for the parade, outside to play, outside, outside, outside. And I was like, maybe I'll just have my hamburger inside just to give myself a break. I was shamed into coming outside and eating in the sweat. The deck was hot. Like, so I was barefoot for a time, which is a long story, and that was too hot on my feet. Everybody doesn't acknowledge the heat. And I'm like, we're feeling the same thing. I don't have, like, special sensory perception. I don't have, like, advanced, I'm not like an X-Men character that can feel the heat differently than you. Everyone feels how hot it is. Why aren't you so hot? I'm pouring sweat, and all these in-shape people who are very thin and going to live a very long time are just so comfortable in this north of 80 degrees with no breeze in the vexing, terrible microwave heat, in this soup of a heat yesterday, and I'm miserable and dying. And it wasn't even one of the hotter July 4th I can remember. But the heat, man, the heat.
I've always wondered why it is that some people like doing things outside that you could do inside. Like, for me and my wife, we have a debate every time we go to a restaurant, and that's an option. And we have the same debate every time, where she wants to sit outside, I want to sit inside. And I've always thought it was a man-woman thing. I don't know. Am I wrong about that? Is it actually that she's in shape and I'm not? Is that really what it is at the end of the day?
No, it's a combo of things. I mean, every woman everywhere has never been too hot. They're always cold. I don't know why that is, but it's a thing. It's science. And yet, every woman who's always cold, always, even when it's not cold, it's one of the great problems that faces our planet. Each woman that's always cold, then somehow, when like it's time to lay down and go to sleep at night, they turn into like a thermonuclear reactor. They turn into like this heat source that every woman gives off like an intense, burning, Chernobyl meltdown body heat situation in the bed. And I don't understand that. I've never figured out why that is. They're always cold. And yet, if their leg comes within 6 feet of your leg, you now start sweating. And there's not enough air in the world to cool off the extreme heat that they give off at bedtime. I don't understand it.
Yeah, I just need a fan on my head and the house to be 68 degrees. It's kind of what I'm looking for. Worst of the day for me, I would say. So I told you I went and saw Sandlot in a movie theater, which, by the way, every time you see Sandlot, you're 7 years old again, and it's every bit as good as you remember. And it was the first time I'd seen it in years and years and years. They did a really cool thing down here, like a 2 p.m. showing, so everyone golf carted over, a bunch of kids in the theater, you know, clapping when Smalls catches the ball. It was really, really neat. But we took not only my daughter, who is now old enough that she enjoys going to movies, but also my son, who's 1.5, and it just was going to be a disaster. Everybody knew that. And the whole goal was, okay, maybe if there's enough snacks or there's enough distraction, we can all pass him along little by little. And by the end of the movie, he'll have only been like moderately awful.
Right.
Well, he was over it within like 9 minutes in. We're not going to sit here. We're not going to watch this thing you've really wanted to watch for about a week since you heard about it. We're not going to do this. So I basically ended up walking around outside with him down the street and all over the place, just trying to keep him company while the movie was on. And I would catch these classic scenes each time I went back in, and just enough of the water fountain, just enough of the tongue on the water to know I really want to be drinking this right now, where Squints is trying to make out with Wendy Peppercorn, or, you know, Smalls is eating his first s'more from the Great Hambino. And I would see these little moments where Squints is telling them about the beast, but then I would be gone for 8 or 9 minutes, and then I'd be back in. And all I want, I'm like, look, man, you'll love this movie. I promise you. There's a dog, and there's baseball, and it's a bunch of stuff you like. Let's just go sit in there and watch it, and I'll let you eat some M&Ms. He was not having that.
No, he didn't.
So it was the thing that you really want to do that could be great if you just had a little participation, but you can't because you're following this crazy person around who's 18 months old and just can't sit still. So we are not at theater age yet for this guy. I knew it. It was a little bit worse than I anticipated.
But yeah, you're like, oh, it's worth a shot, isn't it? And now I think you're starting to see why my solution was no, we're not doing that. And that applies to everything. That applies to everything from airlines to amusement parks to even just, you know, stops at Dairy Queen. We do nothing when the kids are that small because they don't respond to cues. They make basically pretty much you're sitting there waiting for the time bomb to go off so that you don't bother other people. You and I are cursed with shame. People with no shame, they don't care. They'll just go ahead and do that, and you could have just ruined the movie for everybody else. But you have that gift that you and I have where you feel embarrassment and shame at ruining everybody else's time. So, of course, you pick up the little guy and carry him like a football all around the place.
I'm so quick on the trigger, too.
Rightfully so.
Like, at one point, my wife is, like, holding him, and he starts to whine. And I'm like, take him. Go. Like, it's been 5 seconds less, you know? Like, she's like, well, let me try to readjust him.
No.
Too late. Abort. Beep, beep, beep.
If I see one head.
Get out.
One head in the restaurant, slightly shift and turn in our general direction. We're out the door. That's it. Like, if I notice anybody notice us, you know what I mean? If there's the slightest conspicuous thing, like this morning, in fact, this is another highlight. We went to Ted's Bulletin in Mosaic. I love Ted's Bulletin so much. They make their own Pop-Tarts. I'm going to say that again. They make their own Pop-Tarts. The place is just so wonderful. And my youngest was like, I'm going to ruin this for everybody. Anyone that's here is going to feel my wrath. He doesn't eat. I don't understand it. There's so much delicious food. Please eat the food. Please be so hungry all the time. I'm so hungry and so thirsty every second of every day. I can always eat. I don't understand why you don't eat. Whatever. So he starts doing like a thing where he stands up and makes like the slightest peep. And I'm like, outside, here we go. And my wife is like, what are you doing? And I'm like, what are you doing? You're not doing enough. I'm doing the right thing. We're outside. That's it. I'm picking to pick him up and he's kicking and screaming. Doesn't matter. We are outdoors. When you're ready to go back inside and eat all the delicious carbohydrates and the Pop-Tarts and the milkshakes that have been ordered for you, we will go back inside. Until that time, we're going to stay out here in this little fake lawn and you can tumble around and kick me and punt at me and call me all sorts of names. Just fine. When you're ready to go eat the food, we'll go eat the food.
Yeah, you're the only one at that point being inconvenienced, which is better than That's everyone right. around you being inconvenienced. And I probably am a little bit aggressive. You know, right? I'm probably overly sensitive, where maybe you get a built-in 30-second, 45-second to calm the child. Maybe it would have worked.
Maybe.
We'll never find out, though. We're not going to know. Because we're outside. We're not going to be watching the film. He's Danny. I'm Grant. We are Locked and Loaded today here on The Fan, and we are pumped to be with you until 6:30 ahead of Nats baseball on a day in which it is official. Terry McLaurin has signed. He is sealed and delivered. He will be reintroduced via press conference tomorrow to the D.C. media. Let's get into the McLaurin extension, which was official as of just a couple of hours ago as he was at the facility putting pen to paper to stay in Washington for the next 4 years. You're listening to G&D on The Fan.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Commanders fans, what's up? Terry McLaurin back, ready for more years to come. I want to thank the Snyder family, the opportunity for me and my family to come back, continue to try to lead this team to our goals this year. Can't wait to see you guys out at FedEx against Jacksonville this week, week one. Let's get it. We back.
A fired up and giddy Terry McLaurin making it official today. He is staying in Washington. That video there from the team's social media outputs. 26 years old, McLaurin, 3 years into his career, having averaged over 65 receptions per season, 77 and 87, the last 2 years, back-to-back 1,000-yard season. We found out a week ago, Danny, that he was going to be returning. I guess he was vacationing, doing whatever it is he does in July. But finally, he was back in the area, signed today, and they'll have a press conference tomorrow where he, Rivera, and some others from the organization will meet with the media.
Should probably turn my mic on. Genuinely good news. Like, a good thing that happened. When it happens, we say so. This is good. I'm glad they got this done. The team was right. I was wrong. I thought this was in doubt. I thought this might drag. I thought this might be the story of training camp. And it wasn't. They got it done even sooner than they got Jonathan Allen done. So tip of the cap to Rivera, all the Martys, and everybody over there in Ashburn for getting this thing handled. They needed a win. They needed some good news this offseason. As everything bad has been swirling, it's always been about they can't get this stadium, they can't get this funding, this investigation, this response to the investigation, this whining, this whatever it is that Dan Snyder is up to in terms of harassing witnesses and otherwise. It's negative stuff that they're creating. This is a positive thing that they're creating. All Terry McLaurin has been is a great citizen, a great dude, and a really productive football player, which I think for a lot of Commanders fans matters the most, to be honest with you. I shudder to think what numbers he would have put up if he had a first-class quarterback his whole career. Even still, he's put up really, really good numbers. He's in rarefied air in terms of the first 3 years of his career. Just doing some basic math, if he had any kind of competency at the quarterback position, we would think of him, I don't mean just here in D.C., but league-wide, he'd be thought of differently than he is. He's now thought of as a really nice player that's underrated. Oh, yeah, bad quarterback, whatever, but he's been really good. I think he'd be considered among the elites in this game in terms of the numbers he produced if he had good quarterbacking.
Yeah, with misfits at that position, one after another, he is one of 35 players in NFL history to record 3,000-plus receiving yards within his first three seasons. And he's only the second to ever do it for Washington. So he has been prolific. He's been able to produce. And it doesn't really matter who's throwing him the football. But as you pointed out, he's actually got a chance now to work with a viable NFL starter. We could debate, and we have, and we will continue to. What is Carson Wentz? Where does he rank among 32 starters in this league? But he's a dramatic upgrade from Taylor Heinicke. He's better than the average QB that McLaurin has played with, whether that's Case Keenum, who was a backup before and after he was here, or a guy like, tragically, the late Dwayne Haskins, who really struggled when he was in Washington, or thinking even more recently, Alex Smith on one leg. This is as good as it's probably gotten. A big-armed, strong, mobile QB who can throw the ball down the field. So with that in mind, I thought we could pose this question and open up the MGM National Harbor listener lines for the first time today. And after the long weekend, first time we've had a chance to catch up with you guys in a few days, 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067, if you want to join us. If Wentz is the upgrade that we think he is, and let's just say plays at a level that is the best quarterback production McLaurin has been able to work with in now his fourth season, what would he have to do this year to impress you? And what kind of statistical season would McLaurin have this year to actually like take you aback and make you double take a little bit? Because, Danny, we've seen 90 catches for 1,100 yards, 80 catches for 1,050. That's your get out of bed, play with the bad quarterback numbers. Mm-hmm. What would he have to do this season to really surprise you with Carson Wentz?
So let me just give a couple numbers, then I'll give my answer. If he caught 70% of the passes that were intended for him, he caught 74% 2 years ago in the year 2020, again, with the rotating cast of QBs that you mentioned. 70% is kind of, you know, league average, normal for a wide receiver. The guys up at the top of the league are running backs catching checkdowns, right? I mean, that stands to reason. Receivers that run the whole route tree are going to be in that 60-some, 70-some percentage. If he caught 70% of his passes last year, he would have had 91 receptions for 1,250 yards, and you'd probably add a couple touchdowns to his five. That's just if it was normal last year, right? So to me, if he gets to that number, 90 catches, 1,250 yards, seven touchdowns, I'll be like, yeah, that's kind of what he's been. He's been that. To impress me, that's going to be a different animal. That's going to be that 100-catch season. That's going to be that 1,350, 400 yards, double-digit touchdown thing. The Tyreek Hill, the Devontae Adams, the, you know, not necessarily Cooper Kupp's year last year, but sort of those guys that are up at the top of the league, DeAndre Hopkins when he's healthy. You know, that kind of stratosphere would impress me. If he just kind of goes his normal pace with some better quarterback play that you alluded to, I'll go, yeah, that's what he's been, which is really good. Glad he's here. It's awesome. But in terms of saying, hey, let's raise the bar, I'd kind of, you know, you'd be able to throw a couple gifts in there. Basically, I think Chris Tucker and Ice Cube from Friday going, damn, that's what it would be. It would be 100 catches, around 1,400 yards, 9 or 10 touchdowns.
Yeah, which if that doesn't happen, and it probably won't, I think one of the big reasons that it doesn't is there is talent around him that didn't used to exist.
That's right.
And I'm trying to bake that into my expectation as well. So, like, what I expect from him this year is 95 catches, the highest he's ever had. And I'll say 1,250 to 1,300 yards, something like that. If he can get to 1,300 yards, 95 catches, doing the math, 13-plus, close to 14 per reception, something like that, I think that'd be a really strong, very solid season. And with a better quarterback throwing you the football, I think that's doable, it's realistic, it's practical. I'm in on that. In order for him to do something that really blew me away this year, I think he would have to be at around 1,500 yards. You know, I think it would have to be closer to like 120 grabs.
Mm-hmm.
Those elite, top-of-the-league type numbers, which are not out of the realm of possibility for him, but it would be a dramatic leap. It would be a massive jump forward, a huge progression for him. And the reason that I don't really see that happening is I think Curtis Samuel is going to be way more healthy and way more helpful. I think he's going to actually contribute. I think De'Ami Brown is going to catch some balls down the field. I think they're going to try to incorporate him as the Aldrick Robinson from 2012, if you remember him, as the kind of one-trick pony deep threat. They ran him enough on plays where he would just clear things out so that you didn't know when he came into the game he was going to get targeted deep. But very frequently, when he caught the ball, it was on stuff that was down the field, taking the lid off of a defense. I think De'Ami's going to do a lot of that this season. I would add into the equation McKissick out of the backfield, maybe a little bit more throwing to Antonio Gibson. I think they'll use Cole Turner and Logan Thomas substantially in the red zone. So for all those reasons, look, this is an offense that has invested the third most money in the NFL. Mm-hmm. There are weapons here. There's enough around him that it's not just Terry McLaurin anymore like it was a couple years ago.
I think it's an astute point, yeah.
He's not going to go get 1,450 or 1,500 yards probably, but in an offense where he didn't have help, I think if they threw him the ball constantly, he probably could. And it would take something like that to really blow me away because he is just outside of the top 10 in this league. Like, it's going to be hard for him to impress me when you already think the guy's one of the best at his position.
I don't think the targets are going to go up dramatically. The way you get back to that 130, 135 target plateau, which he's been over the last couple of years, is you stay on the field longer, your offense is better, right? So everybody eats a little bit more, right? You get a few more first downs, a little bit more time in possession. And if everybody's got more targets, everybody's got more success, you can get back to that number. I'm talking about just getting back to that 130, 135, because I see that number being a little bit less here this year. They've got two running backs that and the other offensive weapons that you mentioned. The efficiency, in theory, should absolutely go up, meaning you catch a higher percentage of footballs thrown your way, less double teams, less attention being paid to you by opposing defensive coordinators because there are threats elsewhere. You ran through them very well. To me, that means, you know, those catch numbers can absolutely just go up just by virtue of what's around you, right? Quarterback plays better, more offensive weapons, just more opportunities for Terry McLaurin to, you know, not be double covered, to, you know, not have a ball that's underthrown and late, sort of the Taylor Heinicke special. I think those numbers jump up just by virtue of that. To get to that point where you could be in the 140, 145, 150 target range means something happened maybe to one of those other guys, or it means that, you know, the offense is incredible, better than I think maybe even you and I think it's going to be. And, you know, he's flying down the field, and some of those numbers could be staggering if that's the case. But to me, I think the efficiency is going to go up, and that's going to put us in that, you know, like we're talking about, 90 catches, maybe a little bit more, 1,200 plus yards. Hopefully those TDs start creeping up towards 8, 9, and 10 instead of the 4 and 5 he's been in the last couple years, which kind of coincide with this offense not being very good.
There's another possibility here to double-click on something you kind of referenced, which is a jump in offensive excellence, right? Where, let's say, they run a lot more plays this year than they have in terms of quantity,
mm-hmm.
because they're actually on the field more, because they're sustaining drives.
They're successful, yeah.
Not going three and out, not having four or five play drives very often. You're going on 10, 11 play drives, perhaps. Or maybe even that they throw the ball more often. I mean, stylistically, we don't really know what this offense is going to look like. How much of the way that they went midway and late into last year, run heavy, was because they thought that was their only way to win with Taylor Heinicke at quarterback. Whereas now, you just paid a QB almost $30 million against your cap. You gave up a boatload to go get Carson Wentz. Maybe that means they're going to actually be a throw-first team more often than they were the last couple of years. So if you're throwing it more and you are going on longer drives consistently, then his target share could be the exact same and the volume still goes up, right? Because the percentage of the time he's getting the football thrown to him can be the equal of a year ago, but if there's just more plays, then it's more targets. So that's a possibility as well. If their offense goes from being bottom of the league a couple years ago, outside of the top 20 last year, to being somehow, you know, a top 7, top 10, top 12 offense in the league this season, which is something obviously Scott Turner would really, really prefer and like, but the proof's got to be in the pudding when the season starts. I see Jahan Dotson being very solid as a rookie. I see Curtis Samuel having not a great season, but a nice bounce back to the point where he makes plays for them pretty often. I also think that Diami Brown could end up being better than he was when he was silent as a rookie. And if all that stuff happens, it just makes life for McLaurin getting big numbers harder, which I bet you he doesn't care about a lick. Now, he wants to win football games. If he can go out there and catch 74 balls for 1150 and they win 10 games and go to the playoffs, I think he'll take that over going for 1450 while the team is losing 11 games.
I think you're right about that. I'd also add in defensively the link there, right, where you start thinking about some turnovers, start thinking about, you know, quick three and outs for the opponents, right, just to give you more chances, more bites at the apple. It all just kind of goes hand in hand, right? If this defense plays as poorly as it did for stretches last year, you know, your offense, A, it's tough to get into rhythm, and B, you miss your chance, you might not get the ball for an hour in real time on a Sunday, you know? I think that's also part of it as well.
If you want to join us on Grant and Danny, now is the time to do so. MGM National Harbor listener lines are open. We want to know what Terry McLaurin would have to do after signing his big contract to impress you this coming season. Remember, John Allen got paid massively last offseason, and then had a career year and impressed everybody in 2021. What does that look like for McLaurin at wide receiver this season? 800-636-1067 is the number on the MGM National Harbor listener lines. Also next, wait till you hear what Max Scherzer did to take care of the minor leaguers he was rehabbing with this past week. You are listening to The Fan.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Terry McLaurin officially re-signed with the Commanders today, many days in the making. His press conference with the media to announce why he wanted to stay in Washington will be tomorrow. We're asking you at 800-636-1067, what he'd have to do to impress you this season in his first year with Carson Wentz after getting his big payday. Jerome is in D.C. joining us on the MGM National Harbor Listener Lines. What's up, Jerome? How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thank you for taking my call. Sorry, my radio was up on there. I believe it's a couple other dynamics that go along with this. I believe the touchdowns are going to go up dramatically. And I believe his yak is going to go up dramatically because the ball will be thrown in stride. He won't have to do all types of calisthenics and cartwheels and flips, catch the daggone ball, or come back forth. As well as, I think if they showcase Jahan Dotson and they put him in, and they show him in the preseason, and they show Curtis Samuels in the preseason to let those guys know you got to check three wide receivers, I think that's going to set him up to maybe have less catches, but more yards and more touchdowns.
It's a good call, Jerome. Appreciate you making it. GP, to Jerome's point, 170 less yards after the catch last year for Terry McLaurin. That tells you the story, doesn't it? I mean, think of the number of times he's waiting on the football, or he gets blasted, or it's a catch in traffic. We commend him for those catches in traffic, by the way. For an undersized dude, he's a badass. He's tough as they come, but I'd like him to have to make less of those. I'd like more times where he's open and the ball's on time. And to Jerome's point, he can be hitting stride and get some of those yards after the catch. He had nearly 500 in 2020, down to 317 last year. I think that tells you a tremendous story. Those yards count on your ledger.
Yeah, I think that there's truth to the fact that Wentz will be more accurate than Heinicke was more often. But it's not like he's about to play with Aaron Rodgers, right? So in some ways, we got to settle down when we're talking about the ball hitting him in stride and ball placement and yards after the catch, because Wentz, frankly, has struggled with accuracy from time to time. And one of those things we saw Indianapolis try to do, and before that Philly, was bring in guys with catch radius, because he kind of throws it into the area, but not necessarily with ball placement all the time. And it was a big reason why Pittman, I thought, was a huge weapon for him and really broke out last year, because he can make those acrobatic catches. And McLaurin's probably going to have to continue to do that to some extent. Blam on Twitter says, I believe that Terry's efficiency will improve, but his catch numbers will drop given Wentz's tendency to rely on tight ends and the team spreading the ball to other wide receivers. We haven't talked much about that, but that's a really smart point. And it was brought up by the last caller, Danny. Wentz has, in his career, loved throwing to tight ends. I've wondered, though, is that because he had
chicken
really good
egg.
Tight ends on his team?
Yeah.
Or is that because that's stylistically who and what he is?
Yeah, if I've got
like
Zach Ertz
the book on Cousins,
and college quarterbacks,
was,
right.
He wanted to throw to tight ends. Well, he had Jordan Reed and Vernon Davis here. Then he went to Minnesota, and all of a sudden he's throwing to Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen and Justin Jefferson. And that offense goes through the wide receivers, not the tight ends, especially when Irv Smith gets hurt or Kyle Rudolph is gone.
Mm-hmm.
So I think sometimes it's more about who your weapons are than, like, that's what Wentz wants to do. You should throw to Zach Ertz. You should throw to Dallas Goedert. Last year, when it was Mo Alley Cox, I mean, it's not like the offense went through him, right?
Yeah, it was Michael Pittman and then the two running backs combined for, well over 100 targets. I mean, that's what their offense was. Zach Pascal was the second leading targeted, you know, designated receiver slash tight end or otherwise with just under 70. So to me, you know, you target what the strengths are. You touched on it. I thought of Zach Ertz over college quarterbacks. I thought, Dallas Goedert over, you know, name that jag disappointment that Wentz played with in Philadelphia. So, you know, historically, yeah, he's favored tight ends, but I mean, that's TBD. You made a good point though about Wentz's accuracy. I think he is inaccurate. Completion percentage says that he had the same air yards per attempt as Taylor Heinicke last year, and a similar completion percentage, which tells you they tried to just get him to throw short and simple, and he didn't really do that. He was the bottom of the league.
What percentage of the time was he throwing short? Because a lot of the times, if your completion percentage is low, it means you threw intermediate and deep more than other guys.
That is something, I'll be honest with you, I don't have. I know his air yards per attempt is the same as Heinicke's, which tells you that
that's revealing.
Deep throwing, right? So to me, The difference between he and Heinicke is the arm strength. There's going to be less times where Terry's sitting there going, 1-1,000. I've been open for 5 seconds already. 1-1,000, 2-1,000, 3-1,000. Okay, the ball's either late or not there. The ball will come out in the sense that, well, let me rephrase. Wentz takes a lot of sacks. I think the velocity on the football, the arm strength, will have fewer times where McLaurin is sitting there waiting and a defender can come up and blast him. I think that's what happened a bunch of times last year. Either passes were incomplete, or, you know, Terry had to catch it in traffic. The difference isn't accuracy to me. The difference is a cannon for an arm that Wentz possesses. So when it is within radius, McLaurin will be able to catch it and then make something happen.
Dean on Twitter, and you can contact us throughout the show. He's at Funny Danny. I'm at Grant H. Paulson via social. He says, Terry doesn't need to prove anything to me. I expect him to be McLaurin. It's the defense, O-line, and Carson Wentz that has to show me something this year. No doubt about that. And nobody's saying McLaurin has anything to prove. He's well worthy of the contract he just got. And I think you're probably, if you're a fan of this team, more confident that he gives you everything he's got on any play than anyone else on the roster. I think what we're talking about, though, is growth now post-deal. You got it from John Allen. How do you get it from Terry McLaurin? And what would it take for us, like we were with John Allen last year, to just be taken aback by how much better he got or how much work he put in the offseason? In Allen's case, I think, you know, a lot of it was, while he was a great pass rusher the year before, the numbers just weren't there to show it, the sacks. And they came in bunches last year. But he made his first Pro Bowl. You know, maybe McLaurin can follow suit and make his first Pro Bowl after being signed after these three really good seasons.
The opportunity is going to be there, yeah.
In year four, that would be a blast to see. Tough competition, obviously, in the NFC. All right, we'll kick off our second hour next with what Max Scherzer did to become the good guy of the week in Major League Baseball. Hooked up his minor league teammates while rehabbing. That's next on Grant and Danny.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.